All right, amen. Well, man, again, we're just so glad that you're here, and we are, man, we're going to jump into the message. Y'all ready to get going this morning? I know I am. And excited for what God is doing. And man, look at the person next to you and say, hey, I heard you singing, and you were off key just a little bit. Let them know. I said, man, I love you just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's okay. We're going to work through it. No, it's great, man. I'm so glad you're here. And man, if you would, go ahead, grab your message notes this morning inside your worship guide. You can follow along with that way. Give me just a little bit more house lights, guys, please. All right. And just appreciate, man, all that God is doing. Man, what a great worship service already this morning. And how many know God is here? Amen. And I don't know about you, but man, has anybody's allergies been kicking your tail lately? My God in heaven. Lord have mercy. I didn't sleep last night. It was just awful. And so, man, we need to have a prayer line for allergies. Amen. So I took my Zyrtec this morning, and glory to God, hopefully it does its work. But nonetheless, man, excited for today. And if you came in wondering, man, what in the world is the tent? If you're here for the first time wondering what's going on, today's our small group rally day in the kickoff of our summer semester. Yeah. And where are all my small group leaders at? Give me a little what? All right, there's a few of them, all right. And so we're excited about this semester, and it's going to be incredible. We have over 20 groups for our summer semester, and we only have 6 weeks in this semester. We shorten it because we know a lot of you are vacationing and traveling, and so we're real sensitive to that. Man, we want to encourage you to vacation well and make memories. And so 6 weeks, but man, it starts this week. We're getting this started and really excited for what God is going to do. And you'll have the opportunity after service. Make sure, if you would, before you head out to the tent after service today, to pick up your kids and then head out, all right, and meet some of our leaders that are out there, and you can get signed up for any small group you want. That's one of the reasons why we love our free market style, is because we don't tell you what group to go to, man. We just encourage you to find whatever interests you and get signed up out there. And so I want to encourage you to do that, or you can always sign up online on the app. Amen? Amen. Amen? All right, just make sure you're with me. All right. I want to talk to you today. I want to get into this message. And I just thought it was fitting that I talk about, man, just the context and the importance of relationships. Next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. God's also been just dealing with me. I've been really coming to you over the last few weeks. We've been out of a series, and God's just been talking to me about a few different things. So I've been sharing some of those messages with you. I think we'll get into a series in July. But next week, I'm going to be talking about spiritual authority and spiritual warfare, and, man, how to overcome the power of the enemy. I think what's important for the Christian and for the believer, you better know how to combat and confront the enemy. And it's not enough just to come to church. You know, Satan is happy with people that just come to church but never do nothing. And so when we start taking ground is when you start getting more attacked too. And so I think one of my assignments and responsibilities to you is to help make sure that you understand how to win this war in the spirit. Amen? Listen, Fort Wayne will never be changed unless we win the war in the spirit first. And so we have a responsibility to win the war in the spirit. So don't miss next Sunday. Just something that I also started in Saturday morning prayer, teaching on this, taking about 10, 15 minutes, and I'm going to continue it. And so it's going to be really, really good. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, here we go. And a message really just on my heart today in relationships. I just called it Better Together, and because we are better when we're together. Everybody say, we're better together? All right. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. How many of you have got some misdeeds, some issues, some things that you've made mistakes on? All right. And not just barely free either. I like this. Abundantly free. Everybody shout, freedom is for everybody. I like the fact that even though I've got my issues and I've got my hang-ups and my struggles, that God still loves me enough that He paid the price, that I'm not just barely free, but abundantly free. Amen, and free indeed. And so He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans that He took such delight in making. He set it all before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth, it's in Christ that we find out who we are, what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, got our hopes up, He had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose that he is working out in everything and everyone. Father, I just pray the next couple of minutes, God, that we have together in this room, that, Lord, that you would do something powerful in our heart, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, God. Lord, no matter where we've come and no matter what's going on, no matter what happened last night, God, we're going to focus on today in this moment for what you have for us. And Lord, I just pray, let this message go deep within our hearts today, that we understand the importance that we really are better together and that relationships are the key in this journey, in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Amen. I believe that I'm going to start really with a message today that I think is pretty radical. I think it's extremely countercultural in America today because it's the exact opposite of what we have been taught. In America, what do we value more than anything? Well, we value independence. We value just our independence, doing what we can do. How many of you ever heard people kind of make the sayings, man, I'm just going to do me. This is my thing. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And Burger King kind of started that slogan, have it your way, you know. And so I'm just going to kind of do me. I'm just going to look after me. And just this mindset that is happening and where we don't want to have to rely on anyone for anything. And the result of that, can I tell you what the result of that has produced? That we've never had a more unhappy, independent people in the history of our nation. And the truth is, happiness doesn't come from being independent, all right? You can't be happy while you're being isolated. Happiness comes from interdependence, togetherness. And so I want to just challenge us on this first Sunday of June to avoid the summer slump. Because here's what happens. We take vacations, and you should, and you need to enjoy yourself, and you need to do those things. But here's what I've seen, and just through my years of ministry, that we can also sometimes, if we're not careful, take spiritual vacations. And I'm just challenging us as a church. You know, the cool thing, we've got a lot happening this summer. We've got the most that we've ever had happening. And they're not just things that we're doing just to do them, but everything that we're doing this summer is with a purpose. We've got a men's breakfast coming up this Saturday. Men, you need to get signed up. Man, God's doing something in our men. It's powerful. We have, in July, we have our kids' summer blast. It's a vacation Bible school style. You're going to hear more about that probably in the next week or a couple weeks. And it's on a Friday and Saturday. Then we have our serve day, which last year when we had our serve day, we had several hundred of you that came out. We served in multiple projects all across our city. You're going to have an opportunity to do that, you and your kids. It was an amazing day. We've done this every year. We're going to do that again in July. And then we have our men's night coming up in August that I am truly pumped about. I know Moxie and the women had their thing. But man, listen, boys, we're about to do our thing in August. Let's go, you know. And so it's going to be good. It's going to be powerful. We're planning on that. And something happened yesterday in Saturday morning prayer that touched my heart. And I won't say her name because I definitely don't want to embarrass her. And she has no idea I'm even going to say this. But it really blessed me because when I was thinking about avoiding the summer slump, I was thinking about, man, the importance of you and I, man, just staying in the discipline and pursuing God with everything within us. That it's a lifestyle. It's important that we're praying. It's important that we're seeking God. I told everybody that was here at Saturday morning prayer, how many know it's pretty important that you eat today? Like at some point, it's important that you get a meal in your belly. Yeah, okay, just making sure, all right. And if you don't eat, I don't know how you're alive. So, but nonetheless, as much as it's important for you and I to eat, and how many know, not just today, but how many know you got to eat tomorrow, and Tuesday, and Wednesday? Are you with me? How much more important is it for you to feed your spirit? That once a week isn't enough. That you've got to build the discipline. And I just thought, man, what if, man, we became a church full of people that just didn't seek God once a week, but sought God every day, that we took a few minutes every day and sought after God. How much would our life look different? How much would our families look different? Maybe our jobs look different. And so we've got to seek God with everything within us. But what happened yesterday is, as prayer ended, I was walking down the aisle. And one of our teenage girls, man, I could just tell, man, her heart was heavy. And I said, I just hugged her. I said, what's going on? What can I pray for you about? And she just said, man, I just feel, with tears, I just feel distant from God. And I'm like, I mean, it just brought conviction to my life. And I just looked at her and I said, let's pray. And you know, we prayed for a few minutes, and I'm just telling you, this girl is just crying. But what about that moment that touched my heart was her hunger for God, that she didn't feel as close to God as she felt like she needed to be. But yeah, I was like, girl, you at Saturday morning prayer, and you a 16-year-old. Let's go. You know, like, so proud of her, and she serves all the time in this church. But it just got to challenging me personally. I took it home with me all day and last night, and I just couldn't stop thinking about, man, just that level of passion. And I thought, God, may we have that level of desire and want to as her. Amen. All the moms and dads and all the adults in the room said a good amen. I think it's important. And so I want to challenge us that way. And here's what I know. We are better together. Romans 12 says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. And each of us, look at this, needs. We need all the others. Look at the person next to you and say, hey, you need me. Look back at them and say, I need you too. And so here's the big idea. That we need each other because we are better together. Everybody say, we're better together. In order to reach Fort Wayne for Jesus, we've got to do it together. Amen? We've got to have a vision that sees beyond the northwest scope of Fort Wayne and recognizes there's needs all around this city. I don't know where I'm going in this message, but it's not where I thought I was going to go today. So if it's okay, I'm just going to preach to you for a minute. And I'm just going to share a little vision because it's what's in my spirit right now. That we're praying about starting a second campus in our inner city. Thank God that you did that because I didn't know how you're going to take it. And I need you to pray because I know it seems crazy, but there's thousands of people, and there's a lot of people in Fort Wayne today that don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I told the Lord weeks ago after the building that we were going to get didn't happen, and it's fine. I'm truly okay. But I said, God, I don't want us to be a church that just exists. I don't want to just exist as a church, have a couple nice services, do small groups, and it's great, and Growth Track, it's great. But, Lord, we want to go where they're at. That I realize that they're all just not going to come to us, but we got to go to them, those that don't have a relationship with Jesus. Talk to me, somebody. And so, unbeknownst to you, and even yesterday it happened, more of our teams are building relationships in our community, and I'm so thankful because I believe God is trying to birth something with our church. A level of outreach, a level of impact in our community like never before. And what's happening and what we're seeing never before, it's not just one or two people all of a sudden that God's raising up. He's raising up a bunch of people that have this passion. You know, I love Dan Sparling. And I told him, you know, I met with him. He's our director for Servolution. And I said, but Dan, you can't do it by yourself. And he said, Pastor, you were right about that. And so we know that we're dreaming together in this. And I'm just saying, will you dream with me of what would it be like if we did something like that? And here's what I'm saying. Second campus saying, man, we keep this location. We're going to still do church here, but also have another location and do church. I want to encourage you to start opening up your heart to the idea that there's more than just us that we've got to reach. And this is a church that knows that. I'm not preaching anything you've never heard me talk about, but understands there's a great need in our inner city. And I've been having conversations over the last several weeks with different pastors and honoring different ones. And, man, they're all saying, go for it, go for it, go for it. And so we don't know what God's going to do, but I'm just encouraging. I'm totally off script today, but praise God. We're just going to follow him. Amen? And so I know to reach this city, we've got to do it together. And I need people for a few reasons. And I want to give you why you and I need some people in our life. And the first reason is I need people who are going to walk with me. This was the first thing that Jesus did. I love the approach of Jesus when you look in the Gospels, that he just didn't tell them what to do. But notice Jesus, when you read in the Gospels, he always said, man, follow me. Man, let's do a life together. Let's journey together. Let's really do this thing together in this. God never intended for you and I to do life alone. For some of us, man, we've been doing life alone, and it's becoming increasingly difficult for you. Hard for you to get up on some days. Man, you know, I need relationships. We need people. Genesis 2:18 says it's not good for the man to be alone. And I'm not talking about marriage because I know a lot of married people in the world today that are lonely. But I love my wife and she loves me, but we need relationships and friends outside of our marriage too that's going to challenge us and help build us. Like, I love her and she loves me, but we know that. That we need that in our life and that accountability happening in our life. And I'm talking about, again, relationships and community, that who you walk with matters. You've heard me say, man, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Who you walk with, you talk like. You become like, you act like. I've seen it. I see it all the time. Man, who you hang with, man, you become most like. It's funny to me that start talking like it, acting like them. It's funny how it works out. I love a story of three bros in Daniel chapters 1, 2, and 3. Go read it when you have time. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys, every time they were mentioned together. I think it's cool. These guys were together until it seemed like death for them. When they wouldn't bow their knee to a gold image, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but they didn't burn up, not even a hint of smoke on them. When they came back out, God spared their life and saved them. Here's what I know about commitment. Commitment tends to last better in community. I know commitment and being in a relationship with people helps bring accountability to my life. We all need accountability in our life. We all need help. Amen? And these guys, I mean, we're radical in their understanding of togetherness. And here's the thing I know. I've grown to learn to know that, man, you can't expect God to do great things in your life if you're hanging around a bunch of jokers all the time. That they're not pursuing God and they're not pushing you forward in your relationship with God. I love what John Maxwell said. He said, your net worth is your network. He said, your net worth is your network. Man, your relationships are so incredibly important and valuable to you. Proverbs 27 says it this way, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. There's an old statement, I've heard this for years, that when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. Because, man, we can't do this alone. Keep encouraging each other. Keep pushing each other forward. Hebrews 10:25, it says, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's what I know about relationships, that relationships are God's answer to loneliness. It's vital. God set the course of relationships and people. He knew it wasn't good for man to be alone. And he saw to it that, man, I've got to add a person. And then, obviously, things grew and happened. But you and I need each other. We got a great story from one of our young women in our church that, man, that God used relationships to impact her life. Check this out.
When I was in eighth grade, that's where I first became a Christian. Probably when I was 20, I decided that partying was a little bit more fun than going to church, and left church for 15 years plus and never wanted to really go back. And I just had a moment where I was trying to figure out what the heck I was going to do with my life. Realized I was kind of empty, that all those fun times weren't really, didn't really get me anywhere. So someone invited me to church. My mom actually told me about this new church that was down the street. PK talked about, you know, what's your legacy? Like, what are you going to leave behind? And that literally, I cried the entire time because that is exactly what I was going through. Outside of God, as far as like where I was going to, like, what was I going to do? I didn't have children. I wasn't married. You know, I wasn't leaving anything behind. Like, how are people going to know me? Or are people going to know, like, the fun girl that it was always fun to drink with, or someone that was fun to go out with at 10 p.m., you know, like, where I was going. I would run out of church. I would put my sunglasses on before I left the sanctuary so no one would talk to me and no one would see that I was crying. I really honestly think that in the last couple years, that every single layer that I felt that I had built up over the last, like, 15 years just gradually peeled back. And as God continued to peel those back and see those, he replaced them with something way better. Like, I can't imagine a different friendship or imagine that I would have ever known these people and what they would have done for me. Like, the people that God has brought into my life through small groups, it's just so much joy. There's so much love. There's so many people that God has brought into my life that just... The friendships, they're so much more substantial. You know, it's not like you're going out and drinking and you have a bunch of bar friends. You know, that's not what I have. I have friends that care about me, care about my family, people that I would jump in front of a bus for. It's just a different level of friendship. That means the world to me.
Yeah, amen. It's awesome. Thank you, Brenda. It's awesome. Look at the person next to you who said, don't do life alone. Don't do this alone. I want to look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 14, a few different verses. It says, when you gather, this is such a great verse. When you gather, each one of you be prepared with something useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight, take your turn, with no one person taking over. That way, you all learn from each other. This verse is small groups. Absolutely. We actually tell our small group leaders, we have a rule that we give them. It's the 70-30 rule. That means this, that you do 30% of the talking while they do the 70%. So if you're talking more than them, then that's a problem, all right? Because we're wanting to make sure, I love this part, that not one just person taking over, because we have so much that we can learn from each other. How many know that you and I have been through experiences that I believe that we can learn from each other? And I think that's what's so important. This is such a great picture of small group. And really, here's the vision of it, Ephesians 4. As each part does its work, look at this. As each part, you and I are that different parts, it helps the other parts, us, to grow. So Christ's whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. I should have highlighted full of love. That was my fault. That should be underlined too. And I love the fact that relationships produce that. Relationships and healthy relationships and small groups help to produce a healthiness in your life, because there's no such thing as a self-made person. We need each other. We need each other in this race. And so, but healthy, how many want to be healthy? Amen? How many want to be growing? And showing and demonstrating, exhibiting the love of God. Here's the second thing I know about people, men, is I need people who will work with me. I mean, know what I'm talking about. I need some people who will work with me and will help me, not when it's just good, but when I'm struggling. Anybody needs some help when you're struggling? Ephesians 2:10 says, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's plan for you is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. And it cannot be done alone. God created your purpose, then he created you, and he's put people in the equation. And man, I don't know about you, but I just don't like doing things by myself. I stink at doing things by myself. There's not many things I'm good at doing it alone. That's why I love Ecclesiastes, the reminder that two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. There's not much I can do by myself. I think about this morning, just as an example, our amazing dream team that serves every single weekend in different capacities to help pull off multiple services. There's some that come in with the staff on volunteer time throughout the week. There's some that after Saturday morning prayer, specifically the kids ministry, man, that they all set up. And you know the cool thing about their setup? That's the only team that has to set up is our kids ministry. Different things they got to set up in the gym and out here in the lobby. But you know what I see on Saturdays is I see, man, the laughter. They make it fun and they make it enjoyable. But it's not because they have to do it. It's because there's a heart and a passion that, man, this is, I wouldn't want to be at any other place but making a difference with my life. And then you see that on Sundays. I see people, man, that are here before I get here that are already setting up. They're serving. They're doing different things. They're here before any of us, and then they're here till the end of second service. Why? Because they love you. I'm thankful for those kind of sold-out, Jesus, Elevate City kind of junkies. You know what I'm saying? Like lifers. Yeah, you ought to give all of our dream team a hand because they're amazing. You guys are awesome. They're awesome. Think about our parking lot, guys. Rain, cold, wind, whatever, sun, hot, or shine, whatever. They out there because they love you. And because they know, man, we get to make an eternal difference every single weekend together. Because they realize, man, it's not about me. It's about, man, what can I give to make an impact on the life of somebody else? That's what it's about. Are you with me? And that's our dream for every one of you, that you would find your place. You would find a place even on a team and go make a difference with your life and live it out for the glory of God. That's why today we have our growth track. It's at 11:15. It's during our second service. You can do our growth track and be a part of that and figure out, man, just what it is, where we're going as a church, our vision, our values, but then also one of our greatest responsibilities to you is to help you understand your gifts and your purpose. And we've had, over the last several months, so many new people joining teams everywhere. It's awesome. Again, man, we're better together. Amen? Relationships. Here's the other thing I know about them, are God's answer to fatigue. I was thinking about this week. What would Fort Wayne look like if we used our closeness to make an impact? People will say, man, look at those people from Elevate City. That, man, they're together making a difference. Just this year in 2018, we have had multiple people write into the church on our connection cards or emails. And you know, several of these people, there's at least a handful, that have written in and said, man, the reason why, because we always ask there on the connection card, man, how'd you hear about us or whatever? And most of all these said the same thing, is through a friend, but I heard about your small groups. And I love that. I love the fact that in our community, we're being more known for what's happening Monday through Saturday than just on Sunday, because that's been the dream from the beginning. Is we just don't want to exist on Sunday and then nothing else, but we want to impact lives and relationships and people through the week. Can you say a great amen to that? And I think it's important, and I love the fact that people are talking and hearing about community and hearing about relationships and hearing about, man, that I don't have to do life alone. It speaks. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians 6. Every time, everybody say every time, we get the chance, let's work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. It starts with us. Fort Wayne can never be reached unless it begins in us. You've got to have a passion and a heart for people and for our city. I know, man, that things, you know, when I look at the news and I see what's going on, you know what I see? I don't see just problems. I see possibilities. I see opportunities that God is looking for his church, not just Elevate City, but other churches in our city, and say, man, will you step up and become the solution and the answer in our city, or are you just going to continue to talk about it? I love prayer, but prayer with no action means nothing to me. The Bible says faith without works is dead. That there's got to be some action to that obedience, that we walk things out for the glory of God. And church is not church unless we've got cigarette butts on the outside of our church and beer cans. That'll probably even come more in our inner city campus, glory to God. But we've had some of it here, and I love it. Because that's church. Church ain't church without, you know, we've got men and women that have some ankle bracelets, glory to God. They're part of the team. Why? Because their life has been transformed by the power of God. Are you with me today, church? Man, this is about reaching people. We're not here for any other reason but for reaching people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus didn't give us a small commission. He gave us a great commission. It's an incredible assignment. And I know we are going to stand before Almighty God one day, and we will answer and stand an account for what he's given each of us to do. And I don't know about you, but I want to be found faithful. And I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's not going to matter how big our church is. It's not why we're in it. We're in it for reaching people and changing lives. Amen, everybody? Here's what I know. I need number three. I need people who will fight for me. Come on, I need some people that will stand up for me. How many want some relationships in your life that'll stand up? Come on, that'll pray for you, that'll defend you, that'll protect you, that'll believe the best about you first. Like, I need those kind of relationships. Well, you're not second-guessing me, man. We're in this together. Those kind of relationships. Colossians says it. There was such a great verse. Maybe my favorite verse of the day right here. It says this. This is out of the Amplified. Bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other. If one has a cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on, and wrap yourselves, look at this, in unselfish love. Picture that. Just imagine that for a minute. You got to put it on and wear it and don't take it off. Are you with me? Which is the perfect, look at this, bond of unity. Everybody say unity. For everything, look at this, is bound together in agreement. Look at this. When each one seeks the best of others. Man, Jesus can flat out preach. That's a good message. I was reading that this week. I was like, man, God, you preaching to us. Because how many times do we hear something or sometimes about somebody, maybe in the workplace, maybe whatever the situation is. And hey, yeah, did you hear about that person? I mean, the spirit of gossip kills people. I hate that spirit. And it has no room in this church, nor will it ever. I nearly never planted a church because I saw it so rampant. But man, we work hard to make sure that thing always stays far out of this place. And y'all are doing great with it, by the way. And I'm telling you why, because we've realized, man, we've got to endeavor. The Bible says to keep the peace. Another verse says, I believe it's in Ephesians, for the bond of unity. Why? Because we like peace a lot more than we like chaos. And I love the fact that if I'm in relationship with someone, not just my wife, I'll use an example aside, my staff. If I'm in a relationship with these guys and something comes to me about their character, you know what I'm going to do? Believe the best about them first. Why? Because I know them. I know their heart. I know who they are. I need people who are going to fight for me. Not just when it's good, baby, but when it's bad. Like when I'm ready to quit, I need somebody to believe in me and say, hey, you're going to get through this thing, Kyle. You're going to overcome this thing, Kyle. I don't know how it's all going to look, but you don't have to do this thing alone. Are you with me? Give me five men real quick. Five men. Jump up here with me. Help me. Come on. Five men. Five. One, two, three, four, five. Three, four, five. Come on up, man. Let's go. Stand in a straight line. Straight line. Buddy, I'm going to use you outside the men because you're going to help me. And here's the thing. Buddy's got the great job here in a minute. I'm going to use you. And here's the thing that I want you to see, the power of unity, man. And I've used this analogy a while back, but I think it's worth repeating again. How do you spell unity? First letter is what? U, pretty easy, all right? U, and then what's the next two letters? N-I. See that as U and I, all right? And then the last two letters are what? T-Y, a tying together. Just lock arms, men. Just lock arms together. I need somebody who's going to fight for me. I'm going to say James is going to represent you and me. But I need some brothers, man. Girls, you need some sisters that you're doing small groups with that'll fight for you. Because the enemy will try to come in and bust through this. Try to get through. Don't let him through, guys. You're going to mess up my point. He ain't getting through. Why? Because there's unity. Somebody shout unity. And it always bothers me when people say, man, got your back. But if you got my back, you don't really know what's happening in my life because you're in back of me, not with me and seeing what's in front of me. Talk to me, somebody. You need people who are in unity, who are in togetherness in relationships with you. It's not enough for you to say, I got your back. Actually, it really bothers me when people say, man, I got your back. I love it when people say, man, I'm with you. I'm with you. Man, I'm with you to the end, that no matter what happens, I'm with you. We're in this together. I'm not letting you go. We're going to get this through this thing together. Don't know how it's going to work out, but we're going to get through this thing together. And the enemy is not going to be able to come in. He's not going to be able to break the power of unity. And listen, where unity is at, God is at. God is attracted to our togetherness, and he is attracted to our unity. Can you say amen? Stay unified. That's why we need relationships. Give these guys a hand. Thank you, guys. Listen, when you go on vacation, what do most people do? They house sit, right? Watch my stuff. Make sure nobody breaks in. But how much more important is it for you to ask somebody to watch over your soul? You and I need to organize a neighborhood watch for our soul. I'm not saying we need a lot of people, but we need a few people that knows what's going on in our life. I've got a lot of my relationships, my overseers, and I pursue it. I pursue it because I want this in my life. They reach back, but I pursue it too. And for some of us, I tried. Well, try again. Keep pursuing. There are relationships that you know that are worth your pursuit. Don't stop pursuing. And I'm telling you, those relationships have helped me so much. Bethany and I, man, we're close. Obviously, we're married. But in our relationship, we got signals. I told her, I said, never let me preach a message with something up in my teeth or a cliffhanger hanging from my nose. Like, we got a sign. Like, we do, for real. So if you ever see it, you'll know. I mean, we always make sure we dead-eye each other, and it's kind of like, and I make sure we eyeball each other. It's, you know, one of those, or just kind of, you know, one of those deals. Friends, don't let friends have cliffhangers hanging from their nose. I mean, know what I'm talking about. And because when you're talking to somebody and they got one going on, you ain't listening to what they're saying. You're watching what's on their nose. It's true. It's true. It's like, man, brother, let me get that. No, I'm just kidding. I just lost every one of you on that. All right. How do I recover? Ecclesiastes 4, back to the word. That's how. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two stand back to back can conquer. Three are even better than for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Relationships are God's answer to defeat. If one person falls, I love this verse, another can reach out and help. But look at this. But people who are alone, when they fall, are in real trouble. We need each other. We're better together. Here's the fourth thing. I need people who will cry with me. I need people who will be with me in the inevitable crisis of life. And honestly, this one is very personal to me because as a pastor, I see a lot of people struggling and doing it alone. The Bible says in 1 Peter, I love this verse, you should be like one big family. It's a picture of the family of God, full of sympathy towards each other. And I love, again, the verse that I alluded to a few minutes ago, believing the best about people. Don't believe the worst. Believe the best about people because God believes the best about you. Amen, church? When we get bad news, we need people in our life. There are many situations in life that I truly believe that people should never be alone in. Sitting in the hospital waiting for surgeries, waiting for test results. Nobody should have to sit alone through those. No one should have to stand in an open grave alone. First night alone after a loved one dies. Shouldn't have to be alone. When a husband or wife walks out, shouldn't have to be alone. Are you with me? At Elevate City, I love our crisis care system is built on small groups. If you read your Bible, the ministers are the people of the church. It's always been that way. And if you're in a small group, you will get the care that you need. Small group leaders will pray over you daily. And we also have backup systems, all right, myself, other pastors and leaders, to also do visits and hospital visits and counsel. But frankly, I truly believe that we are inadequate compared to small groups. Why? Because this is the biblical model, and it works better. I believe the whole body of Christ, the church, doing ministry together is what makes the difference. One of the greatest moments of my life as a pastor was over the last probably 2 years now. I have seen our small group leaders step up like never before. Listen, you small group leaders need to hear me. God is using you. God is raising you up to not just lead a small group, but to leave a movement of, I believe, what God wants to do in our city. And don't look past that. Say, well, man, we're just walking this summer. That's okay. Walk with purpose. Touch somebody's life. Are you with me? And I'll never forget a couple hospitals in the last few years, even one here recently. And going and visiting people, when I show up, it just amazes me. I'll never forget one of the times I showed up to the hospital. It was almost a really tragic situation, but God turned it around and healed them. But I walked in, and the small group was already there. And the small group leader looked at me and said, Pastor, what are you doing here? I said, well, I heard about what happened. I wanted to be here. I said, man, we got it covered. You don't need to be here. And some would think, man, that's kind of insulting. Tell the pastor don't be here. But it wasn't insulting. Honestly, it was incredible to me because you know what I saw? I saw leaders rising up, say, man, we got this. We're in this thing together. We're going to do life together, not alone. Relationships are God's answer to despair. Nobody ministers better than a friend does. We need relationships. You need a small group. 1 Thessalonians says, encourage one another, build each other up, just in the fact that you're doing. And here's my last one, is I need people who will partner with me. This last point is for all of those people in this room today that say, man, I want to do something much bigger than myself. Together, we are on a mission to make a difference in our communities and in our city. Amen? I'm dreaming of a church that stays on point and on mission with Jesus and what he wants to do in our life. And you know what I pray? Can I just dream with you again? I pray that one day that people will say, man, because of Elevate City, man, Fort Wayne was never the same. Man, because of Elevate City and living out purpose, America was never the same. Man, because of Elevate City and seeking out God's plan, man, the world was changed. And the world was better because of our church being in it. I believe it's possible, and we are looking for people that say, man, count me in. I want to do something much, much bigger than myself, and I certainly don't want to do it alone, but I want to do it together with a bunch of crazy people that love Jesus and dream big and think that, man, we can change a city and reach thousands of people for the glory of God. Is there anybody in the church today that says, man, I want to do something bigger than me? So listen, and it's not just about trying to solve people's problems and singing kumbaya. Listen, let's get out in our city. Let's make an impact. Let's serve. Let's dream. Let's start new outreaches. Come on, let's go help plant new churches. Let's go send teams like we are in the next week to the nations to help impact the world. I want to be a part of that. And Jesus said this, and I'm closing, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do more together than we ever could alone. How are we going to change the world and change even right here in Fort Wayne? It's through relationships, man, I'm telling you. It's together. Dreaming alone, but say, man, I'm going to be a part of something bigger than myself. I believe Fort Wayne can be a city for God. And I believe God is looking for those who are going to rise up and follow his plan and purpose. Are you with me? Here's the last one. The relationships are God's answer to significance. And I end with this verse because I think it's powerful. I think it describes us. It says, would you read this with me? You are working together, struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. And here's the thing about it. Hell hates what we stand for. Hates the fact that we are reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just to get to heaven, that's the bonus of it all, but to reach people, to see them live out their God-given purpose, because God gave us an assignment on this earth to take dominion, and we need to take dominion, not just live for heaven while we're on this earth. Talk to me, amen? That you've got authority, you've got a calling in your life, and we're in this together, and we are better together. Are you with me, everybody? Would you just bow your head right there? I want to pray for us. I don't want anybody moving around, even small group leaders. Listen, just wait until this service is done, please. This is a moment here in this service that I want to do two things. I want to pray for the person today that doesn't have a relationship with God, but then I want to pray over us as a church in the context of relationships. I've really felt this all week in my heart. But if you're here, first of all, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, can I tell you the first relationship you need to begin with is knowing Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Man, there's no greater decision, more important decision in your life, man, than following after Jesus. He's not asking you to sign up. He's not asking you to do anything, but just believe in him. He loves you. And I'm encouraging you today, receive the free gift of salvation. All over this room, with every head bowed, even if you're here today and you say, man, I had a relationship with God, but man, it's not where it needs to be. And I know I need to put God first again. I'm talking to you too today that says, man, that's me. It's real easy. I'm going to lead us in a prayer in just a moment together. But man, would you let me know? With every head bowed, say, man, and do it unashamed. Who cares if somebody's looking or not? Man, this is a decision between you and God and an awesome one. It says, man, I'm committing and making Jesus first in my life. On the count of three. Come on, 1, 2, 3 in this place to say, that's me. That's me. Yeah, gotcha. Come on, anybody else? Yeah, gotcha in the middle. Gotcha. Praise God. Proud of you guys. Gotcha, buddy. Awesome. I want to lead you in a prayer. And just say this after me. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I make you the Lord of my life today. change me. Make me the person you want me to be. Give me the power to change. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray right now. I believe it's time for the church to be the church. That it's time for the revolution of love and fellowship and relationships and community. Lord, I'm asking you this morning to please begin this in our hearts today. With all my heart, Lord, I believe that our church will start fulfilling your purposes in relationships and community. That in that, we'll see a new reformation in the church and a new spiritual awakening in our nation. And Lord, do we need it? I want to lead you in one last prayer. And this was on my heart this week. And I just want you to say it with strength and mean it from your heart. Not just a prayer to recite, but one I want to lead us in as a church today. Will you say this with me? Say, dear God, forgive me for the times I felt I didn't need other people in my life. I want to be a part of what you're doing on the earth through your family, the church. I want to experience real relationships. I'm tired of superficial relationships. I want to learn to love and be loved in a deeper way. Jesus, I open up my heart to you. So today, Lord, bless our church as we continue to embark on this journey of relationships. In Jesus' name. And man, let's give God a great amen. Come on, let's put our hands together. Amen. Come on, amen, everybody.